to the Fantasy's Finest Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, William Spencer, Jalen McQueen, and Mark Carter.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. You know it's your host, Will Spencer. And guess who decided to show up for the recording today? Ace, what's been going on, man? I know you've been busy with the family, so I'm not going to, you know, beat you down too much. But we missed you.
I miss it, man. I'm glad to be back, seriously. But yeah, busy, family, got another baby on the way. Then my daughter is hitting the terrible two stage, so I'm just all over the place. Work, blah, 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 blah. So I'm back, seriously, until wifey goes out of commission.
Yeah, I understand, man. I totally understand. Like, so.
This is the last one.
You sure?
Because soon as she gets off of that table giving birth, I'm hot right on because I'm getting snipped. This is the last one. I wish it was a boy for that fact, but, you know, I'm happy that's a girl. She's not, but I am. So
yeah, congratulations, man. It's in the water because another homie of mine, he about to have his third kid. And my wife was, we just found out today. My wife was like, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like you found out that y'all are
pregnant. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Don't wish that on us. No, I got my two boys, man. I am good. I don't need any other kids. And, you know, Landon and Jackson are 7 and 9. Like, Landon's about to turn 10 in September. I can't do a reset.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true.
I can't go backwards, man. But let's get into this fantasy thing we done rambled on. And I don't want to ramble on too long. Because, you know, I could talk about anything. So, but I'm excited to have you back because now we're going through the divisional breakdown series. We're almost finished with the AFC. We're at the AFC North in this episode. So we're going to do our divisional breakdown for the AFC North. We're going to give our record predictions or our predictions for who do we think is going to come out on top for this division. And, you know, we got the news to cover. We got some tidbits. Some nuggets, you know, going on in the NFL. Training camp is already underway. Bro, it's so much stuff going on. Yes.
We got football back.
Yes. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was literally about to say that. It's just so much stuff going on. So much video content coming out from camp. The players that, you know, you've been excited about coming out of the draft and now they're on their teams. You know, you got Eagles content creators constantly talking about the Cowboys. Like, this is what it means when football is back. And I love every second of it, man. It's exciting. So we got
tons of stuff.
What'd you say?
I said, you more than me.
I'm just geek, man, because the offseason kind of slows down right after free agency and the draft.
Yeah, definitely.
But we got to get into the episode. We got tons to talk about. So you know what you got to do. Make sure you follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platforms like Apple and Spotify. Make sure you follow the podcast on all our social medias. We're on Threads now. Do you have a Thread account?
What is that?
No. Briefly, Instagram has their own Twitter-like social media platform now.
Then no, because I don't have an Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been off of Instagram for years.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. It has the last thing I can't even say the last thing I remember posting you on or tagging you on, but yeah, you're not there anymore. I remember trying to look you up.
Yeah.
And you dip. You just be like, man, I don't feel like dealing with this.
Definitely not.
But it is the Fantasy's Finest. You can find us on Thread. We're on TikTok, YouTube. Our YouTube channel has been doing very well. We're almost at 300 subscribers. We haven't had the YouTube channel too long.
We're going to get it up. Hey, I wasn't here. Mark, you know, Mark Paul's not here. That is false. That is false. Matter of fact, I don't even know if you heard, but when you said we're going to see who's coming on top from the AFC North, I whispered, I was like, pause. But no, that's definitely pause. But I wasn't here. Mark's not here. So we getting back in the swing. We gonna get the channel up.
We're gonna get the
channel.
Yep, 283 subscribers on YouTube. We're trying to reach 300 before the start of the regular season. So that's the goal. I think we're going to reach it just by the pace that we're going in. But if you can go over and subscribe, we got. I have some ideas for some longer form content. Not too long, but I want to start doing some lives. I want to start doing some more longer form content, like stuff that you can't really put on TikTok. And our TikTok account's growing too. We're up. We're almost at 6,100 followers on TikTok. So that's great. So we're getting out there. You know, you hustle and you grind. People see your work. I'm really happy to have all the new followers and subscribers and the commenters and all the engagement and stuff like that, because that's what fantasy football is all about. It's not just us telling you what we think, but going back and forth and having that interchange and being able to talk to our followers. Like, that's one of the great things that we, and some trash talk too. Like I said, I put a video on TikTok and I'm like, yo, man, if you following and you subscribe to wherever we at, don't feel shy. Like, you can't leave a comment, even if it's just like we talking trash to each other. Like, that's cool. As long as ain't nobody talking sideways, like, yo, we can go back and forth. That's the fun part. That's football. So don't, if you following the Fantasy's Finest, or you following me and Jalen on social media, Jalen _BlackMoscato, me at @Hype_Finest, don't be bashful. Like, we with the smoke. So if you want to talk trash, we can do that. Like, you know, but if you want to talk football too, fantasy football, we're there for you too. So, you know, getting all the particulars out of the way. So we got to step right into the news. You know what's coming next. News and notes from around the NFL.
News and notes from around the NFL.
All right, so we're going to kick this news segment off with this one. It's a little bit old, but I wanted to talk about it, and especially since you're back on Ace, I wanted to get your take on it, because DeAndre Hopkins signed a 2-year deal with the Tennessee Titans. New contract is 2 years, $26 million, which can get bumped up to $32 million with incentives if they're reached. How do you feel about this move for DeAndre Hopkins? Because he was talking a lot of crazy. He wasn't talking crazy, but he was all over the place in the offseason. You know, he wanted to give his particulars on who he wanted to sign with, who he wanted to catch passes with, quote unquote. All of that just to go to the Tennessee Titans. Like, give me your, is you have a fantasy reaction? Do you have a football reaction? Like, what do you think?
Okay. So my... Which one you want first, fantasy or football reaction?
Give me your fantasy reaction.
Stupid.
What?
Absolutely stupid.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about the football aspect, just the fantasy aspect. Number one, he has been hurt maybe the last year or two. And going to the Titans, they don't even know what they're doing at quarterback. You have three quarterbacks who are potentially... Who could have been the starters? You have three different quarterbacks. All of them are bottom tier quarterbacks. I won't throw the rookie in there because we haven't seen him yet. But let's say Tannehill and Willis, bottom tier quarterbacks. Then you could have. I just really don't see how it works fantasy wise. Maybe really late. Maybe potentially a free agency pickup. But if I'm playing fantasy, I'm not taking DeAndre Hopkins, or I'm not basing my team around DeAndre Hopkins early or mid rounds, because there's so many other options out there that's available. And then I'm guessing football wise, stupid, because he mentioned, like you mentioned, he said he named five quarterbacks that he wanted to play with. He wanted to play with a vaunted defense and a team that was ready to compete for a Super Bowl, and the Titans hit none of those marks. So it's, I guess you want to say, you know, because when the news first dropped, something was at my neck. How is it done? You know, he just got paid. Clearly, I'm not talking about him getting paid. Clearly, that's not dumb. I mean, you take the most money. Sure. Yeah, that's not dumb. I'm saying dumb in the football aspect with all the crap that he fed everyone when the news was going to allow that he wanted to be traded to a better team than the Cardinals. And he went to a team that was worse than the Cardinals. It makes sense. And it's dumb from a Titans perspective too, because y'all just traded AJ Browns and our division thanks a lot for that. I mean, y'all could have just paid them. Y'all could have just paid AJ Brown the money that y'all would have had AJ Brown longer than y'all have DeAndre Hopkins, who was like, come on. Like, it's just dumb in both aspects. I'm not drafting them. early or mid rounds. I'm talking, when I'm talking about late rounds, I'm talking like the draft is over.
So here's the thing. I don't think that he's going to make it to the late rounds because he's currently going off boards as a wide receiver 20, according to fantasy data. So
that's way too
high. Would you consider taking him as a wide receiver 2? Because that's kind of the ballpark. Not even that?
No. Maybe the flex spot or backup receiver, but there's too many options. I could give you 20 wide receivers that I'm taking, above.
Give me three. Give me three.
Three number twos?
Yeah, give me three number twos.
T. Higgins.
Okay.
Devontae Smith. Gabriel Davis.
Really? Gabriel Davis? You think he's got it in him this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And matter of fact, if Gabe Davis is too controversial, then give me Chris Olave because Michael Thomas is back. I know it's 30 wide receiver twos right there. I'm drafting well before the other happens. But then if, I don't want to get too wrapped up in this, but then if you add even more number twos that you're contemplating on drafting, CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Cooks, Washington, not Giants.
Well, Lamb ain't even going to make it to where Hopkins is at. He's getting picked off board in the top 10.
Even within his own division, maybe I might draft Christian Kirk before I draft DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe Michael Pittman, I can't count on him maybe to, play more games. But, I just fantasy-wise, I just don't think it's smart.
I got you. I kind of get it, too. I've talked about this on Twitter. I just feel like Hopkins kind of shortchanged himself. It's not that I still think he can play, but I just think that the offense is going to cap what he can do. They don't throw the ball a ton. They're a run-first offense, and they're not like Philadelphia where the Eagles are deadly with the run, and they're more dangerous with the pass. Like you've seen what A.J. Brown did last year in his first year in the offense. And when you look at how A.J. Brown performed with the Tennessee Titans, he was a solid wide receiver too, but he could never get over that threshold because they just didn't pass the ball enough. And I think that that's what's going to happen to DeAndre Hopkins. But let's keep it pushing. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say he did put up some pretty good games, last season. But, Kyler Murray, I think Kyler Murray, is also one of those average quarterbacks. But he's far much better than Tannehill and Willis. So he's not putting up those big games, especially, and the division is looking like it's going to be pretty competitive. I just don't see it. So.
Yeah, I got you. Moving right along, Dalvin Cook reportedly has 5 suitors looking to sign him ahead of the start of the season. He appeared on the Dan Patrick Show and revealed that he has 5 teams interested in signing him. New England, New Jersey, and Miami are already teams that have expressed interest in him. And he was actually at, before we came on, he was at the New Jersey Jets. He was at the New York Jets practice today. He's supposed to be visiting them and going through their practice, not actually being a part of it, but he's like, they're showing him around. And Jets fans are actually chanting for Dalvin Cook. Now, I don't think that it's a bad move if they sign him, because I still think he can play. It's only a bad move to me when you look at what it impacts. And Breece Hall is sitting right there. It's like, I can't, football-wise, it's a good move because you add Dalvin Cook, you get Aaron Rodgers, you have a nice wide receiver core, you get another weapon on the offense, it's going to be dangerous, yada, yada, yada. But for fantasy, I don't want Dalvin Cook there. Honestly, out of the places that he's expected to, or the teams that have interest in him, I don't want him to go to New Jersey. I don't want him to go to New York, the Jets, and I don't want him to go to Miami. And fantasy aside, those are good landing spots for him. Yeah. I want Breece Hall to take off. I want Devon Achane, who they picked up during the draft this year in Miami. I really feel like he could be that guy. He's just so explosive. And he's putting on weight so that he can play at a bigger size. But his speed and his smoothness and the way he runs, it's not changing. And we've seen there's a couple clips floating around on social media, Devon Achane. That's what I want. If Christmas could come early, like, so to speak, that's what I would want. Like, Dalvin Cook can go anywhere, and I think he's going to be fine. But give me – don't go to the Jets, man. They got enough over there. And Aaron Rodgers took a pay cut too. He signed a 2-year, $75 million deal. Like, that's less money than what he came over with. They're trying to, you know, make sure that they got enough space to make some moves if they need to. So I respect it, but I'm just like, don't go there. You can go anywhere else, man. Go to Dallas. We need somebody.
I don't know if you've seen the video actually released. They asked him about Dallas, actually. You didn't see that video?
I who was he talking to? Was it Stephen Holder? Because I did see
somebody on ESPN. I have no idea. He was talking about Dallas and was saying, you know, how Dallas been right there, you know.
Yeah. I saw that one.
And that he would love to pair with Tony Pollard, you know, because Tony Pollard, and this is his quote, is Tony Pollard is a great running back. Just partner up with him. A great running back. It would be good. I would love to him to be with or sign with the Cowboys. I mean, like you mentioned, any of those teams that he goes to, like you said, he's going to make an immediate impact. But with Dallas, he may get the most tick in Dallas than any other spots that he goes outside of New England. Because New England, you know, like you mentioned, they don't have anybody. I know they're looking at Zeke or whatever, but if they sign Dalvin, clearly he's the RB1.
That was the next one I was going to talk about. Zeke and the Patriots. They matter of fact, that's a nice segue. Good job by you.
Yeah.
No rust.
But all in all, I would love to see Dalvin in Dallas. I number one, fantasy purposes, you know, yep. He would kill in Dallas. And even if he is the RB2, he was still killing Dallas. Especially you can turn him. Now, I want to say you could turn him into Zeke, but you could turn him into your Zeke in those short yardage situations where you need Dalvin to carry the load. But Dalvin, still, like you mentioned, has breakaway speed. He would be more than enough in Dallas, definitely. But, moving on to Zeke.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott was at the Patriots facility. They're thinking about bringing him aboard, you know, because they don't have anybody behind Ramondre Stevenson. No deal yet, but this is also probably a reaction to Dalvin Cook, going around with the Jets and Miami. So I will keep this one short. Do you think that if Zeke signs to the Patriots, he'll have fantasy value in 2023?
I think so. And the reason why I think so is because just last season, although Stevenson had a buttload of yards, you know, a little over 1,000, he only had 5 touchdowns. So Zeke scored 7 more touchdowns than he did. And Zeke was coming up off of a backup role. Really, once we hit to a certain point, Zeke, yeah, he was there for the early down work. But Tony Pollard was finishing out those games. Zeke, you know, we had limited Zeke's carries. So in a backup situation like that, I definitely think Zeke would have fantasy value because Zeke finds the end zone. I don't care. I know some fans was at me and I was like, why is Zeke not signed yet? But I don't care how a touchdown comes. I don't care if it's a 22-yard touchdown. I don't care if it's a 1-yard touchdown. It's still 6 points. And at the end of the day, Zeke is one of the best, if not the best, short yardage goal line scorer there is in the NFL. So, you know, as great as Tony Pollard was last season, when we needed to punch that thing in, 21 was coming in and punching, you know, that ball in. So I think he would definitely have fantasy value with the Patriots.
Yeah. Can I give you a little hot take?
Yeah.
I don't think Ramondre Stevenson is going to be a top 10 running back this year.
I don't think so either.
Nah. I looked over his numbers, man. Well, he's nice. Don't get me wrong. But I think he was incredibly efficient last year. For what he was asked to do?
I'm not sure. Maybe I disagree.
Five yards an attempt on 210 attempts.
That is nice, but this is why I disagree. And I'll say maybe he will be a top 10 back because.
Flip it.
Yeah, I'm flipping. I'm flipping. I'm going to play devil's advocate because he did only start 7 games. And he, you know, I mean, you can still, like you mentioned, you know, you could. Another running back and get that early down work, and then you finish out the career like Tony Pollard. But he did only start 7, so if he starts more games, that gives him, you know, more time to maybe eclipse what he did last season. Because like you mentioned, 210 attempts and getting 5 yards a clip. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, and then especially, you know, if they do sign Zeke, he has fresher legs as well. So when Zeke does come in, you know, got some time to rest, he knocked the bell cow back. I think he definitely could be potential.
Yeah. All right. Then I'll say one more thing and then we'll move on. The only thing one of the things that I'm concerned about is that the offense for the Patriots hasn't really changed over. You don't have a quarterback that can threaten people off the line of scrimmage like you can anywhere else. And Mac Jones, you added Juju, you added some other, you know, you added Kendrick Bourne. Exactly. So if your reaction is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not like, oh my God. So, but if you look at the offense, it doesn't scare you. So if I know that Mac Jones is still going to be the quarterback, who's the next person I really need to stop? And that's Ramondre Stevenson. And how do you stop a good running back? You load the box and you dare the quarterback to throw. And he's not in a division where you can play like that for too long and expect, you know, to come out and be a playoff contender, because you got the Bills, you got the Jets, you got Miami. All those teams upgraded. You can't just run the ball. You saw what happened when Buffalo got their hands back on them after they ran that ball down their throat. They was not happy about that. What was that, like two seasons ago? That was they were ready for it. But let's keep let's keep going, you fool. All right. Javonte Williams avoided the pup list. He is expected to go in training camp. He's been cleared to practice, which is great. And he's looking like he's ready to be on the field week one for the Denver Broncos. I like it.
Yeah.
I was high on Javonte Williams last year, but he ended up getting hurt and splitting work with Melvin Gordon, and the whole Nathaniel Hackett thing sucked. Don't let Javonte Williams.
You mean Russell Wilson?
No. Wilson. Wilson's one of my bounce back candidates.
Maybe,
so I'm not.
I would say maybe that's why Russ played so bad, because he didn't have Javonte back there. But he only played 4 games last season. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Javonte, I high hopes for him too. Top 10. Now I might flip again on Stevenson, because I forgot about Javonte Williams.
Yeah, he plays a whole season with Sean Payton and a rejuvenated Russ.
You know what? I'm gonna flip again. Stevenson. No deal.
People going to hear this and be like, yo, man, tell him to make up his mind, man. Tell him to make up his mind.
All right. I don't play too much.
We're going to wrap up the news with this last nugget. Just in case you didn't see it, Joe Burrow, Cleveland. I don't know why I keep saying Cleveland. Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow suffered a calf strain during practice. He is expected to be out several weeks, according to Zach Taylor, the head coach. They're not going to take any chances with him during training camp, which is smart. And he is expected to be ready for week one. But, you know, they're probably just going to play it by ear the rest of training camp. Let him rest that calf and be ready to be back on the field for the start of the season. Do you think that this impacts his fantasy value? Because he's coming off boards as a QB4.
I don't really think so. I'm pretty sure I know the QBs ahead of him: Mahomes, Hurts, and Allen.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy money.
I need a soundboard.
No, actually, seriously, we do. We do need to get a soundboard. Come in next episode.
Yeah, you know, a little hustling on Lyft and come back, you know, be there. But that'll wrap it up.
No, I think you.
That'll wrap it up for the news. We are done with this segment. So now let's get into the nitty gritty. Divisional breakdown, the AFC North.
Yeah.
Divisional breakdown, the AFC North.
All right, so we're going to kick off this segment. And just in case you don't know how we do this, we go through each division in each conference. We go through the teams. We try and highlight those special fantasy players that everybody's going to be looking at. We kind of not give our takes, but we give our perspective on what is going on in each team. And then at the end, we try and give our predictions on who we think will win the division heading into 2023. And each team has a boatload of fantasy players that will be drafted high, will be drafted low. Some could be sleepers. We're going to allude to some of that. But let's get into our first team, the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, we already talked about Joe Burrow and his calf injury. He's expected to miss the rest of training camp. Like I said, he's coming off boards as a QB4, according to fantasy data. I have to agree with you that I don't think his fantasy value is going to change. I don't think that you're going to give up a quarterback or pass on a quarterback that's giving you almost 22 fantasy points per game, like he did last season. Burrow is just, he's one of the best passers in the NFL. And the only reason I kind of chagrin at saying that is because one of my homies is a Bengals fan. He's kind of a jerk.
Two things I never thought I would hear. That you know a Bengals fan, and then number two, that he's a jerk. I would never have guessed it.
Would you believe that this Bengals fan is from Philadelphia, the home of nobody else is a fan? Nobody else is a fan of any other team?
Only
the Eagles
fans. Yeah, only Eagles fans care. I seriously have not heard that. I've been to games in different cities. Clearly, you know, I've been to Cowboys games. I just never heard. I don't think anybody cares. I mean, I think it's just too sidetracked. But they really take pride in that 4-for-4. It's like, I don't know. It's like your son just won a basketball game in high school. They just take pride in that. I have no idea what that's about. But, you know, love and hate him.
Yeah, it is what it is with that. But like I said, man, Burrow is going to be one of the best passers in the league. Even though he doesn't have rushing upside like the guys that are coming off the board before him, he's still going to give you, you know, a pretty good fantasy production out of the quarterback position. So I don't see his calf injury impacting his fantasy value. He's still going to be one of the highly touted quarterbacks coming off the boards. I really think that it would be a mistake to pass on Joe Burrow, even if you consider the calf injury. If he, you know, even if he starts off slow, you make sure you grab a QB2 or somebody that has top 10 upside, maybe later on in the draft. But if you know that that Joe Burrow is going to be your target no matter what, you just cover yourself. So you make sure that you back in yourself.
Oh, man. You know what's crazy? Listen, quick story.
Shoot.
And this is for all our fantasy listeners. We're definitely, you know, quick story. Last season, Joe Burrow stunk it up the first 2 weeks. I released Joe Burrow. Just let me finish. So I was in two leagues, obviously, that I had to pay to get into or whatever. So my thinking, I can't afford this. Literally, I can't afford this. I dropped Joe Burrow.
Oh, my God.
One of my OGs talked to him almost every day. He picks up Joe Burrow, and he won the title because of Joe Burrow.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, do not be ace and just be patient. Oh, yes, I absolutely panic. And the reason why I bring that story up is because when you have a great passer like Joe Burrow, you cannot be ace. You cannot just toss him away because of a couple bad games. Literally, after the first 2 weeks, I dropped him. And I picked up Tua. Now, hindsight, it wasn't bad. But it began to get bad because Tua then got hurt.
Yes. And
then I was done. After that, I was done. But I say that because, you know, like you said, he finished QB4 last season behind Patrick Mahomes, Hurts, Josh Allen. I don't see another reason you would not, like you said, take Joe Burrow. You got to. I would even possibly take him, you know, after Mahomes, you know. It's debatable. But like you mentioned, Joe Burrow's too good of a passer pass up, and he's going to put up numbers every week. So do not be ace. I pass that story along, you know, to let you know that
as a warning.
Yes, as a warning. As a warning.
Don't do what I did.
Yeah, do not panic. It cost me a chip.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, man. That is brave of you. I must commend you for revealing that story.
What made it even worse is I had Jamar Chase. It won't happen again. It will not happen again. Sometimes I get really impatient, especially when you lose games, because Joe Burrow was losing me games the first 2 weeks. I was 0-2 because of his production. And I couldn't take it. Like I said, I had to pay to get in these leagues, and I could not afford it. And really, if I would have just stayed patient, listeners, what we call fantasy, you know, our fantasy freaks, our finest freaks, finest freaks. Yeah.
You call them that.
If I would have stayed patient.
The finest fans. I'm calling them finest.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Finest fan. If I would have just stayed patient, I would be sitting here with another championship under my belt. But that did not happen. So be patient.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's keep moving through the Cincinnati Bengals. What is your thoughts on Joe Burrow, man? Because he has some offseason antics going on, you know, some personal stuff. Joe Mixon.
You said Burrow.
I said Burrow.
I'm about to say, what did he do in the offseason?
No, he don't do nothing, man. He respectfully, he cookie cutter. That's a good thing.
The quarterback should be.
I thought I said Joe Mixon.
No, he did. But, okay.
Mixon recently took a pay cut to stay with the team. I say it was a little touch and go because it felt like that they were really going to try and move on without him if he did not take the cut. But he's there for the 2023 season. How do you feel about his fantasy value? Because he is being drafted as a top 10 running back. Gave you 17 fantasy points per game last year, 6th most among running backs. But I don't feel like Joe Burrow is a top 10 running back. Like,
look, see, you said Joe Burrow again. Y'all hear him. I don't know what's going on with Will tonight, yo. But he said Joe Burrow again. First he called him the Cleveland Bengals. And then he's called up Joe Mixon. Joe Burrow. Now, I thought maybe I was tripping. But now
I'm bugging because I'm not used to I miss you so much. That's what I'm going to lay it on. I miss you so much. I'm just tweaking tonight. Joe Mixon. I don't feel like Joe Mixon should be drafted as a top 10 quarterback. Top 15.
And again, he just said a top 10 quarterback. What is happening, people? You know, all right, listen, I'm going to just take the floor from Will because he need a little sip of whatever he got to put in. But I'm not drafting Joe Mixon. Now, 17 fantasy points is really good, especially coming from a running back. But like you mentioned, let's just take Stevenson, for example, right? Actually, the same amount of carries that Joe Mixon had, 210. But Stevenson had about 240 more yards and 2 STDs. But, you know, the Bengals offense is, when you have a good quarterback, the franchise quarterback, your team is primarily going to be centered around airing that thing out. And that's what, you know, what the Bengals are going to do. Obviously, they're going to run the ball with Joe Mixon. He got 210 carries. But, you know, primarily, they're going to be airing that ball out. And if it was me, you know, drafting running backs, I'm not drafting him top 10 because there are running backs ahead of him who's, you know, going to get just as much production on the ground, but then also going to get a little bit more production through the air as well. So Joe Mixon will fall out of that top 10 category for me. I'm not sure how you feel about it.
My thing was with him, the 17 fantasy points per game is good. But when you look at his week to week, and he had a huge game in week 9 against the Panthers, 55 fantasy points. But you subtract that and you look at his week to weeks, he had 7 games where he had over 15 fantasy points. But 2 of them came at the end of the season on week 16 and 18, where he had 17.8. So if you take out that huge game in week 9, Joe Mixon was kind of average looking on a weekly basis.
And
he was consistent.
That is a valid point, actually.
I like the comparison you did with Ramondre Stevenson. They had the same amount of carries, but Ramondre Stevenson outproduced Joe Mixon, and Mixon is in a better offense.
And granted, let me throw this out. Stevenson also did play 3 more games, but Stevenson didn't start in 10 of those games. So I just want to throw that out before, you know, our listeners in the comments and say, well, he played more games. Yeah, he did play more games, but he only started 7. So, regardless, But go ahead.
So he still managed to outproduce him while having another running back split the backfield with him.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. I just don't feel like Joe Mixon is going to get the amount of he's going to get the work, but he just doesn't produce enough to warrant that top 10 draft price. Like, there's other running backs that I would be more opposed to taking ahead of Joe Mixon. Like right now, But he finished as a top 10 running back last season, but he's coming off boards at the running back 15 per fantasy data. So you got Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, Breece Hall, Najee Harris, and then behind him, you have Aaron Jones, Jahmyr Gibbs, Dalvin Cook, Damian Pierce, and J.K. Dobbins. Like, some of those names, I would take over Joe Mixon. J.K. Dobbins, I would definitely take over Joe Mixon, especially with the changes. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I like Joe J.K. Dobbins this year. Kenneth Walker, he does have another running mate, the rookie coming out, Zach Charbonnet. But I still think Kenny's going to get a lot of work. They're going to try and run the ball and balance out and be more balanced so that way they don't have to put too much on Geno. And I really like Travis Etienne. Like, there's just other guys that I would take ahead of Joe Mixon. I'm concerned about his week-to-week performance. And you know, like you said, you had other running backs be able to do the same amount of work that he did and not produce as much. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't not talk about the Bengals without talking about this guy. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, they're one of the best tandem wide receivers in the league. Jamar Chase is arguably a wide receiver one in fantasy drafts. The debate this offseason has been whether or not it's going to be him or it's going to be Justin Jefferson. And you really can't lose if you decide on either one. I think that's getting lost in translation. Like, Jamar Chase is nice. Justin Jefferson is nice. They're like the echelon right now at the wide receiver position. Like, how do you feel? Like, I won't even put you on a spot like that. Do you consider Jamar Chase to be the?
I already answered your question.
You what?
You said you wouldn't. I said you would. You said you wouldn't put me on the spot. I said I already answered it. I'm taking Justin Jefferson over Jamar Chase. Well, that's not putting me on the spot at all.
Okay. But, you know, first day back, I didn't want to throw too much at you. You know what I'm saying? But you can't go wrong. Like I said, you can't go wrong with either one. Like,
no, you can't.
It's splitting hairs at this point. Like last season, Jamar Chase had 1.5. He averaged 1.5 fantasy points less than Justin Jefferson did. They both were giving you over 20 fantasy points.
But see, okay, this true. You're not wrong, but to listeners or people, obviously, you know, those who do play fantasy, our audience, basically. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like when you have Justin Jefferson, he is much more consistent fantasy-wise, and obviously, you know, NFL-wise as well, much more consistent than Jamar Chase. Then you agree? And I don't think so.
I don't know. He had a couple games last year where he kind of got shut out.
No, this is what I was about to say. And you know me, I don't say anything without backing up the numbers. So that's why I'm asking you, do you think, you know, what do you think?
I think that they're nearly on the same wavelength. Like, they're going to have times where they're going to sputter a bit, but overall consistency, those are the top two guys that are going to be the most consistent when it comes to fantasy football. Like I said, that's why I said it's like almost splitting hairs, because they may have a crappy game. That's just, you know, what it's going to be, but both of those guys are interchangeable to me. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like one is more consistent than the other, because both of them have the ability to give you big weeks and be more consistent over the course of the season as opposed to some other wide receivers.
Now, the reason why I say that, you know, I'm quick to say Justin Jefferson over Jamar Chase is because Jamar Chase, just taken last year, he had six games with 20 points or more. Throughout the season. Granted, he did miss five games, so obviously give him a pass on what he would have done. But let's just take the games they did play. He had six games with 20 points or more. Justin Jefferson had nine games of 20 or more. And just to put it in perspective, when I say nine games, those 20 or more, 41, 32, 30, 26, 36, 30, 35, 31, 32. Now, the reason would brought Justin Jefferson... Exactly. Now, the reason we bore Justin Jefferson down is because he literally had four stinkers, and it was a four against Detroit, six against Dallas, two against Green Bay, and seven against the Bears.
You said how many against Dallas?
I think that said two. Hold on, let me check again because, yeah, that's
Trayvon Diggs.
That dad goes Trayvon Diggs.
I heard he was Trey.
can't lock him down. Yeah, no, in 2022, he had six versus Dallas.
Ooh.
Six. So when I say, you know, that I'm taking Justin Jefferson, obviously, over Ja'Marr Chase, it's actually not even close. Ja'Marr Chase's best games, and, you know, I read them out to you about Ja'Marr Chase, 29, 37, 35, 29, 20, 23. It's not as good as, look, you talk to his kids. It's not as good as Ja'Marr Chase's. So, I'm just saying. Now, but granted, like you mentioned, my quick story when I did have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. Actually, I had won a league prior in 2021 with both Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Why did I let him go? I have no idea. But, you know, like you said, really, you can't go wrong with either. Somebody takes Justin Jefferson, you know, you're next to pick. You're going to take Ja'Marr Chase. So somebody takes Ja'Marr Chase, you know, you're going to pick Justin Jefferson after that. But, you know, like you mentioned, he's can't go wrong with either.
Yeah. And T. Higgins is going to – I like T. Higgins as a wide receiver,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 14 coming off boards, 19th in receiving yards last season. I've always liked him coming out of college, and his size and the way he plays like, I won't say like Dez Bryant, but he's, you know, a big body receiver. He can go up and get it, those 50-50 balls. I would like to have him as a wide receiver too on any fantasy team. He's got the upside. He's got the targets. He gets the work, and he's in one of the best passing offenses in the league. So T. Higgins, you know, he's good. Tyler Boyd, I kind of feel like he gets left out in the lurch because he's a guy that if you get him, you're, you know, for lack of a better phrase, if somebody goes down in front of him, he should be able to pick up the slack. But I don't think that Tyler Boyd is probably the only guy that you're not really taking a wide receiver to start him, maybe in a flex spot or something like that, but you're not going to go out of your way to get him. Right. Now, Irv Smith landed with the Bengals this offseason. What do you think about him? Tight end?
What I will say, it's really hard to gauge because last season, you know, fantasy-wise, almost nothing. I mean, absolutely. He had 2 weeks. One against Dallas, you know, 15 points. And then one against New Orleans, 11 points. But after that, literally nothing. It's literally nothing. So maybe playing in a better offense, you know, with more weapons, maybe he'll get more looks. But, I mean, as far as drafting Irv Smith, I wouldn't do it.
Okay. I'll leave you with that. Now, you wanted to do this one. So please introduce us to the next thing.
So next, Baltimore Ravens picked up Nelson Aguilar from New England. They got Zay Flowers, also added Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, with Lamar Jackson coming off, you know, a pretty bad year, he's looking to bounce back and potentially lead the Ravens to the division. So, Will, about Lamar, do you think he'll bounce back? And do you see him being a top 10 QB that you draft? Matter of fact, I won't say top 10. That's too easy, of course. A top 5 QB that you draft.
Ooh, top 5, you say? I certainly think that Lamar has the potential to be up there. We've seen it before. The matter is, can he stay on the field and stay healthy? Because he missed the last end of the last two seasons back-to-back. So that's a question that has to be asked. But as far as a person, can he do it? Yeah, I definitely believe that he could be a top 5 quarterback or finish as a top 5 quarterback in 2023. Lamar has the talent. He just needed help. He needed weapons. Yeah. And ever since that MVP season, they neglected to bring him help. They got him, you know, Marquise Brown. That was good. Then they ended up trading him away. Rashad Bateman was supposed to replace him. He gets hurt. He can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field, et cetera, et cetera. And the only other person he has to help him out is Mark Andrews. Yeah. So it's like you know, quarterbacks are going to need help. They're going to need assistance to be able to continue to play at a high level. And now that Lamar Jackson has Odell Beckham, he has Zay Flowers. And that, Zay Flowers, if you watch some of the training camp, I know everybody don't get hype over training camp stuff, but the way he moves, yo,
nice. I actually think I would take Zay Flowers over Odell in the drafts, in fantasy drafts.
I don't think you would be wrong for that.
Yeah. For first things first, you know, Odell can't stay healthy. As talented as Odell is, he can't stay healthy. So, you know, drafting Odell would kind of be like pulling a plexiglass burst.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
No, it would be.
Hear me out. Here's my reason for that. The reason why it's not that bad is because of where he's being drafted. Of course, there's going to be risks when you take fantasy players that are coming back from injury, et cetera. But it also depends on where you're taking him. If Odell Beckham was in the wide receiver 2 range, coming back off of not playing a full year with the ACL, yeah, there's huge risk because the value doesn't reciprocate with what's going on with the player. Whereas he's coming into the season, he's being drafted out of the top 100 wide receivers. He's going late. So if he's going late, I will definitely take a stab at Odell Beckham on the cheap. If he doesn't make it through the season, that's okay. Because by then, I should have 3 or 4 wide receivers on my fantasy team anyway. He would be like my wide receiver 4 with potential upside. Like, because I don't feel
out there, man.
Better than who? Better than Odell. Better than an Odell Beckham that looks. He looks good.
Yeah, and I'm a name those just a couple.
Hit me.
Would you draft Michael Gallup over Odell Beckham?
Nope.
I would, because like I said, Odell has been too hurt.
That's coming back from. I mean,
I know what Michael. Yeah, Michael Gallup did get hurt, but did he not? If I'm not mistaken, he did play a full season last season.
Yeah, but he wasn't the same.
Not only just that, Gallup has proven that he can stay healthy. Gallup has been healthy, you know, and this is not even like bias talking, because we're not talking about actual NFL. Actually, you know, in actual NFL, I'm taking Odell over Michael Gallup. But I'm saying fantasy reasons, you know, fantasy purposes, I would draft Michael Gallup over Odell.
Okay.
For sure.
I get the logic. But like I said, Odell's cheaper.
I don't know. I'm not so.
I mean, give me one more. Who you think that you would?
I would take Quez Watkins over Odell in the fantasy draft.
You disrespectful.
Quez Watkins disrespectful.
That is disrespectful. Watkins has no fantasy value. Is AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert?
Maybe Quez.
You wildin'. I'm blowing my mic up, saying you wildin'.
Maybe Quez was a bad one. I'm sorry. Okay, we were just talking about Tyler Boyd. I would take over Odell.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
I'm telling you, Odell Beckham will be able to outperform all of those guys if he stays on the field.
And this is not me. I just want to be clarified. This is not me wishing harm on Odell. I would never do that. But I'm just saying, you know, history has shown that he cannot stay healthy. Let's go back to past couple of seasons. You know, this is the same dude we're talking about who was, you know, beating around the bushes saying, I want to play for teams. Oh, well, I'm going to wait to the end of the regular season. Matter of fact, I'm going to start in the playoff. He didn't even trust himself. So I know it's a new season. I know it's more time. But, you know, when you're not playing, you know, you basically took a whole year off from the NFL. When your body's not adjusted and you're taking those hits again, like, players say all the time, I feel like they get in a car crash every week. You're taking those hits again. Your body's not used to taking those hits because you took a year off. I mean,
I got you. But I like the wide receivers for Lamar Jackson to help him bounce back. You got his stalwart guy in Mark Andrews. I feel like Mark Andrews is a top 2. Tight end in the league behind Travis Kelce. He'd be one of the guys I'd be more confident in having on my fantasy team. His fantasy values, like most players, is directly tied to quarterbacks. But Lamar Jackson and him and Mark Andrews, man, they just have a relationship with that. When they're out there, they just make stuff happen that shouldn't go down. And some of them plays that they make.
I'm gonna be honest. When you say Mark Andrews is the second best tight end behind? Are you talking about actual football or are you talking about fantasy? Because I know sometimes we do both. No, definitely not. If you're talking about fantasy, definitely not.
Who's the number two tight end?
I would for sure draft Dallas Goedert over Mark Andrews.
What?
You are tripping.
And it's not even Dallas Goedert shade. I think Goddard is definitely a top 10, maybe even.
That's disrespectful to say he is a top 10.
Are you kidding me? Dallas Goedert is good, but when Lamar Jackson is healthy, whatchamacallit, Mark Andrews eats.
I mean, but you know what?
There's no butt.
No. I can't.
There's no butt there. The first 6 weeks of the season,
unfortunately, the tight end is one in 6 weeks. So it don't matter what week seven through 18 look like.
It does matter.
I think all out your right to say weeks 1 through 6, and that's just telling me.
I'm giving you because the next 2 weeks he had bad games, and then Lamar Jackson got hurt. And then his fantasy game went right down the toilet because it's directly tied.
That does not matter. That does not matter.
It does matter.
If you're good, you're going to perform. It don't matter. You know, I'm not saying you're going to put up the same number, but you're going to perform. CeeDee Lamb performed with Cooper Rush. Yes, he did.
CeeDee Lamb did produce with Cooper Rush. If you compare Cooper Rush, those five games with Cooper Rush,
No. But you said that Mark Andrews, he's having bad games because he didn't have Lamar. Okay, CeeDee Lamb wasn't having bad games, although he had Cooper Rush. That's my point. If you're great, you're still going to be great. Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert is more consistent, in my opinion, as a fantasy option than Mark Andrews.
And he's not.
He is.
11.3 fantasy points per game for Dallas Goedert over the first 6 weeks.
That's where I was headed. And that's
6 weeks.
Wait. That's where I was headed. Because you're about to try to beat me. You're about to try to beat me to the point I was about to make. Dallas Goedert.
I said it first.
All right. Okay. You beat me to. But I just got on Odell because he wasn't able to stay healthy. It's only fair that I get on Dallas Goedert as well because he was not able to stay healthy last season. So, you got me. But I'm just saying.
Mic drop, Nick.
go ahead. You win. You win this battle. You win that.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm just saying, I'm not saying Dallas Goedert is trash. I'm not saying that. He's a very good tight end. Top five, anywhere between 4 and 7, he's in that range. And it may not even be a debate because there's not a lot of tight ends that are good. But when you look at what Mark Andrews does when Lamar Jackson is healthy and he's one of those go-to targets, he gets a bunch of targets, he gets the volume, you can't turn that down compared to other tight ends. You could talk, maybe there's more of a comparison between Andrews, Kittle, and Dallas Goedert. But I would take Mark Andrews
First of all, I just want to let our fantasy listeners know how slick Will is when you are debating him. See, I'm familiar with Will's game. Will mentioned weeks 1 through 6, and I keep emphasizing it because from weeks 7 through 18, Mark Andrews only had 3 games. Yes, for weeks. So 11 weeks, he only had 3 games over 10 points. So that's why I said when you debating Will, see, try to sneak stuff in there weeks 1 through 6.
And this is the problem that I have on social media, as well as when I debate people, because they only hear what they want to hear. Because I said after those 6 weeks, he had 2 bad games, and then he lost Lamar Jackson the rest of the season. He had 2 bad games. I acknowledge that he had 2 bad games, and I acknowledge the fact that without Lamar Jackson, he did not have a stellar fantasy performance the rest of the season. That's what I said. And I will run the tape back for you just to make sure that you know that.
I heard you. Okay.
All right. Let's get this. We talked about J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. Yeah, I kind of stated my opinion. Gus Edwards is a solid handcuff, and J.K. Dobbins, I feel like, is poised for a bounce back year, especially considering what has been coming out of training camp so far with the way they want to use J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. How do you feel about those two running backs in particular? And are you concerned about Melvin Gordon? Because he signed with the team
That's not concerned about. I'm not concerned about Melvin Gordon at all.
It's been a point of conversation, so that's why I bring it up.
Really? Because, yeah, like you mentioned, Dobbins. I mean, I guess Dobbins and Edwards. You know, Raiders just got hit with an injury bug last season. That's all that was. But Dobbins actually really has potential, like you mentioned. Five yards per carry or per attempt, you know, out of the back. I think Dobbins has like so much potential, but he can't stay healthy. I mean, not much to say. I mean, they're great for late round picks. Maybe Dobbins, Edwards, you know, probably sending your free agents for a couple weeks, but I don't know. I don't really have much to say on that. Not two running backs you really want to put on your team.
I don't know.
They got the ultimate running back. They got Lamar Jackson. So,
I think Dobbins would be nice as an RB2. If I feel like swinging around and getting towards his hand.
Yeah. If you had to draft him as RB2, then yeah.
Maybe, yeah. I think that's his nice. That's a nice spot for him. Girl, it depends on how the offense works this year. Because I kind of feel like they're going to try and throw the ball a little bit more this year with Lamar Jackson. Kind of prove that he can hang with the best.
That's really to prove. Lamar Jackson has proved time in and time again that he can pass. I've been on Lamar Jackson's case before about the passing, but, you know, he won the MVP. You know, I know that seems like ages ago, but he did win the MVP. A lot of quarterbacks have not. I mean, well, I can't say that because quarterbacks only win MVPs. But, you know, a lot of quarterbacks his age, let's say, have not won the MVP. So, especially not unanimous. So, Lamar definitely can do it. Like you mentioned, you just need more help. And this season, they've given him more help. So, you know, we'll see.
All right. Next up, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We might as well skip them.
Oh, you cool. Well, we might just not have to spend as much time. But yeah, we got to talk about the Steelers because they're in the division. So it all starts with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was a rookie last year. He didn't have. He wasn't great last year, and it kind of it impacted the Steelers' offense. Deontay Johnson went without. And how do you go an entire season without a touchdown? A touchdown.
I don't know, that's Kenny Galladay.
Cold-blooded, man. Cold-blooded. But Deontay Johnson was highly targeted, 147 targets last season.
Yeah.
George Pickens is a freak of nature. But it, like I said, and Pat Freiermuth was eating too. It's just a matter of, can Kenny Pickett take the next step to become an NFL quarterback? And if you think that he can, not you specifically, but if you believe that he can, do you now hope that the skill positions for the Steelers are viable fantasy option during the fantasy draft? Now, that last part was for you, because how do you feel about the Steelers? Because they did make some additions. They kind of shored up their offensive line by drafting Broderick Jones out of Georgia. They got my guy, Darnell Washington, who I was hoping was going to land with the Cowboys.
Who's hurt? Isn't he hurt?
No, he's good now. He's been at training camp. He's been in practice. But you got Pat Freiermuth there, who's the tight end one. So it's like Darnell Washington is like a big offensive tackle, but he can move like a tight end. So it's like he can get out and block. He's strong. Boy's like 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah.
He's huge. Pause on the pause. Because he's a big guy, but he can move. He's got agility to him. So I don't know how they're going to use Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. I'm not sure Darnell Washington has fantasy value this year because of the limited amount of passing that the Steelers have. We don't know if Pickett is going to turn it up a notch and pass more. He only had 2,400 yards passing last season, 7-9 touchdown interception ratio, and he only averaged 11.5 fantasy points per game. So it's like you need to know that your quarterback can produce or move the offense so that the other guys can eat. Like, the targets is good for Deontay Johnson, but it's like if he's not going to be able to score touchdowns or the offense is not going to be able to generate points, how can you draft, like in PPR format, that's cool.
You can't really draft anybody from the Steelers because of the quarterback situation.
But you're going to, but fantasy managers are going to do that. That's what I'm saying.
And when fantasy managers do that, they're going to put themselves in a bind because although the players have talent, like you mentioned, Pickens, freak of nature. I won't go that far, but he's pretty solid. But I mean, maybe he is a freak of nature, but you won't see that because of the quarterback situation. Now, had this team maybe had Baker Mayfield instead of Pickett, maybe I kind of would give it some consideration. I mean, Baker really is, you know, not that far off, but I'm saying Pickett, you know, he played 13 games. He started 12 of those games, and he only threw 7 touchdowns. That's, I mean, come on, be serious. He didn't even average a touchdown a game. That's ridiculous. So why am I drafting a tight end? The only person really that you could draft from the Steelers is Najee Harris. That's about the only person really that you could draft. Outside of that, as good as Kenny Pickens may or may not be, Darnell Washington, as good as Pat may be, it's too many questions revolving Kenny Pickett. So when it comes to that draft, I seriously wouldn't even think about it.
I agree with Deontay Johnson and, you know, George Pickens. The talent is there, but the work is what's questionable coming from Pickett. But if there's another guy earlier on the Steelers that I would take, it's Pat Freiermuth. He saw 98 targets last season, 5th among tight ends. If there's consistent work or consistent targets, especially in PPR formats, you could take Johnson. You just got to hope that he's going to continue to see that level of targets to supplement the fact that he may or may not score touchdowns.
Maybe you could, like you said, maybe you can draft a tight end because he has 98.
Yeah, those two would be options because you know the ball's got to go somewhere and he's going to either pigeonhole targets to Deontay Johnson or he's going to look for relief in Pat Freiermuth.
I think we both make a good point.
Yeah,
you're more optimistic. I'm definitely more pessimistic. I just feel like you got to listen to either one of us, listeners. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really either or.
Hold on. I think you said that you would draft Najee Harris.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Yeah.
I would.
Do you think that the new addition to the offensive line will help him? Because he has averaged over 4 yards a carry to this point in his career.
I just told y'all we'll be slick.
He has
an average 4 yards a carry. The dude is looking at an average 3.9, and then last year was 3.8. Really?
Oh, you rounding up?
Come on, bro.
He's using that round up math. I respect that.
He averaged 4 yards a carry.
All right. So 4-ish yards a carry. That's not bad. That's not too bad. But the offensive line, I feel like, is where the issue lies. In order to help Najee Harris out. And I was looking at it on...
Najee has to do it himself, too, because there are some games I watch Steelers. You obviously know my dad is a huge Steelers fan. So anytime, my wife's Eagles fan, my dad's Steelers fan. But anytime my Cowboys win, I try to check out the Steelers or Eagles games so I can see if they lose so I can text, go Cowboys. But there's some games I watch with the Steelers, and Najee, he does too much, like with the ball. He jukes and spins and just unnecessary. If he just runs, man, he can be really good. He can just hit the hole. But I mean, you know,
boss,
run. You know, I'm new on to the next segment, man. But seriously, though, Najee, I would definitely draft Najee. He, regardless. Around 4-ish yards to carry, he is producing. RB2 for sure, Najee Harris. RB2 for sure.
Okay, I can agree with that. All right, and then we can wrap it up with the Cleveland Browns.
Speaking of freaks.
We got to talk about Colt. Yeah, Deshaun Watson, I don't think he's ever going to be able to move past that. That's just...
Yeah, he's not. Unfortunately,
he was just dumb, but we're not talking about that. Watson coming off boards as a QB 10 like I said, according to fantasy data. Another one of my bounce back candidates, because I feel like with him being able to have a full off season with the Browns, they've had weapons, usable weapons in the past. But now you got Amari Cooper, you got Donovan Peoples-Jones. They just traded for Elijah Moore during the offseason for the Jets. Yeah. I'm buying into the hype with Elijah Moore.
Yes, sir. I had him.
Yeah. He just
No. I ain't talking about Elijah Moore. I'm talking about Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Oh, you had him?
Yeah, I had Peoples-Jones. I had to pick him up because I had an injury. And man did he ball out for me.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being that serious.
Okay. Yeah, I was just
the moment sense. I picked him up, he didn't ball out.
Yeah, my spider sense went off. I'm like, hold on, he tried to set me up. Let me score.
What the hell? You balling?
But they have. I like the weapons that the Cleveland Browns have. I think that this is a season where being able to practice and have an entire offseason, you know, you got the training camp, you got OTAs and all that stuff that he wasn't able to participate in last year because of the suspension. But now you got Watson hopefully returning to the way he played back in 2021 when he was with the Texans, finished as a QB5. Everybody wants to see that.
4-12?
The team was butt, but for fantasy, he was pretty good. 23.1 fantasy points per game. Led the league in passing, 7 touchdowns.
I know why. I guess it is possible for some quarterbacks to be ranked as top 5 quarterbacks, although their team sucked. But yeah, that's not neither here or there. I'm sorry.
Yep. I picked up what he was putting there. I got you. But that's why I kept it fantasy, because I know I can go off on a tangent. But the point is, Deshaun Watson is in a position where he's considered by fantasy analysts and the masses that are drafting right now as we speak in best ball formats, dynasty formats. They consider Deshaun Watson still a top 10 or top end quarterback. And he does have some rushing upside too. He doesn't run a lot like your Lamar Jacksons and your Jalen Hurts, but he does carry with him some rushing upside, which is appealing to the fantasy manager these days. So come on,
the craziest thing I've ever heard. He has some rushing upside. So does every quarterback in the league.
No, but there's differences. Like, you're not Lamar Jackson. Like, there are differences. Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, they run. Like, now I'm not even trying to diss, like, yo, they run all the time. But they run a lot, and it's a part of their game. Deshaun Watson, he can scramble, but he's not always
looking to run. That's my point, though. That's my point. Every quarterback can scramble.
But you're not drafting him like that.
But the only quarterbacks you're drafting because of their rushing ability is going to be Lamar, Jalen, and Justin Fields. But if I pick up Dak, I know Dak can scramble.
Hold on, if I pick up Justin Herbert,
I know he can scramble.
We got some breaking news. Breaking news.
Wait.
Well, it's information.
Wait.
What?
I just want to see if I can see it first.
It's Jonathan Taylor, man. So this just popped up. The Colts are considering putting Jonathan Taylor on a non-football injury, the NFI list, after he apparently suffered a back injury while working out on his own in Arizona. Oh, boy. Maybe this is why he's not getting a new deal. Because this has been ongoing for the last 2 days.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of...
Yeah, well, first, I was going to save that for another episode, but since we're talking about it now, real quick, Jonathan Taylor wants a new deal. He's on the final year of his rookie deal. He talked to Jim Irsay, and Jim Irsay was basically like, nah, we're not doing it. And Jonathan Taylor requested a trade. He wants out of Indy. But there's more coming out as to maybe why Irsay is not prone to giving him a new deal. And this just adds another wrinkle into that whole scenario. Like, I don't even have the tweet because I wasn't expecting to talk about this in this episode. But it's just like, he said some crazy stuff like, you know, if Jonathan Taylor's not here and nobody would miss the Colts or something along that line. Like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the league when he's healthy.
It's just a situation right now. That's all it is.
I think it is, too. It's like, how do you not want to pay the run? I understand not wanting to pay your average running back. But these guys that aren't getting paid, your Austin Ecklers, your Saquon Barkleys, your Josh Jacobs, like, these are the top end, the cream of the crop at the running back position. How do you don't pay them?
What's crazy is, I will save this for another, we should save this for another episode, because I actually agree the way, with the way running backs are treated. I do. And I have valid reason. You know, I always have valid reason for why I agree or disagree. I do have valid reason. We should definitely say that for the episode.
For sure. We'll have a running back talk. That's what we'll do.
For sure.
But speaking of running backs, Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is, I think he's going to ball out this year. No more Kareem Hunt. Sir.
He balls out every year, really.
He does. But he doesn't get the credit that he deserves because he's used as a pure runner, whereas he does have the ability to catch out of the backfield. They just don't use him like that. Mm-hmm. But now that you don't have Kareem Hunt, he's not there anymore, you have an opportunity for Nick Chubb to not only control the backfield, but get added PPR work with Deshaun Watson. Like, this is setting up to be Nick Chubb's season, and I want every part of it. Like,
yeah, RB1.
He's
more further than that.
He's definitely an RB1. Finished the RB6 in 2022, 16.6 fantasy points per game. He finished third in rushing, averaged 5 yards at attempt, over 1,500 yards. He's a goal line monster. Like, these are the things that you want out of your running back one, but the added passing work helps push him up into that top five level, to me at least. So I'm all in on Nick Chubb, all homo. I don't care. Give me some Nick Chubb.
See, I didn't even peek until you said it. That was crazy. That was crazy. That's a snippet for this
episode. Chubb. All right. Well, we talked about Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I like Amari Cooper. I think he's going to be a problem this year with Watson.
He probably got a special place tomorrow.
Yeah, Cowboys are stupid. But David Njoku is an interesting tight end because he finished just outside the tight end, the top 10. He gave you 10.1 fantasy points per game. And that's kind of production that you don't really get out of the tight end position. Like, would you be prone to waiting on a David Njoku?
No. I feel really disrespected I would even ask that question.
Really? The tight end position is just so sparse, man. Like, once you go past Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, maybe George Kittle and Dallas Goedert, it's a big drop off.
No, it's not. Kyle Pitts.
Ain't done nothing. No, ain't done a thing.
I get it.
You would take Kyle Pitts.
Schultz.
Oh, all right. Oh, I won't go that far. I won't go that far.
What? Dalton Schultz?
Dalton Schultz is, he's not even with the Cowboys anymore.
I know that, but I'm he's not a bad.
He is,
that's true.
I
actually don't like
Dalton
Schultz at all. So
what are you talking about?
But I'm taking him over David and Joe Coop.
You high. I wouldn't do it.
I'm gonna be high with a championship.
Not in my league. But I would consider it. If I don't get the tight ends that I want earlier in the draft, I would consider getting David Njoku. I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
So let's wrap this baby up. AFC North predictions.
We'll start it, everybody. He started it. He set the first pause. And then
the pause episode. All right. So give me a prediction. Who's coming out at the I'm trying to word this the right, so I'll get paused again. Who's coming out as the top dog? The team, the top dog in the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, or is it the Baltimore Ravens?
Ooh, really clearly, this is I am going to throw a dark horse in there and say the Browns.
Ooh, okay.
Let me just guess a record. I'm going to say the Browns win the division 12-5.
Whoa, 12-5? I like it. Okay, so you pick the Browns. I'm not going to be Joe and pick the Browns, too.
Well, and we definitely are doing pick-ems again this season.
Oh, yeah. I got a title to defend.
Yeah.
We didn't get to finish last year, so that
gets better. We both have titles. I had a title the first year we did it. 2021, we'll say
that's that bad boy the year before.
There was some cheating involved for sure.
It definitely wasn't.
You know, we'll give him that one. But I got the Browns
all right,
winning the division.
So if you take the Browns, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
And so no Bengals from either of us.
I think the Bengals still make the playoffs, but I feel like the Baltimore Ravens have finally done what they should have been doing the whole time that Lamar Jackson was there and adding weapons with him. And I think that they've done it. If everybody can stay healthy, you know, goes the course, because you want your NFL teams to be healthy. But if the Ravens stay healthy, I really feel like Lamar Jackson is probably the most physically dangerous quarterback, you know, especially if he levels up in his passing. He's more consistent with his throws. He's got more targets to hit. He's not just chucking it downfield, but he's got the way that they've been talking about the offense is they want to add more shorter passes to get the ball out of his hands so he's not scrambling all the time. You know, Joe Burrow is going to be Joe Burrow. I don't have any doubts about that. But if Lamar gets it together with the weapons that he has, look out. I think the Ravens can steal the division. And I firmly believe that. I still think the Bengals will make the playoffs.
Actually, I was going to pick the Ravens, but I decided to go to Brown. They made a couple of moves in the offseason. You know, not even just their same thing with the Ravens. Not even just their offense, but defense as well. So either or, I'm gonna go either Cleveland or
No.
I'm gonna go Cleveland. Yes, at 12-5. You're going to go Ravens, and what's their record?
I'm going to say 11-6 because okay. The division is tough. I'll take one game off, 11-6.
Okay. I
say
that. Okay, that's good.
All right, so we...
Matter of fact, we should keep track of this so you get bonus points when we do pick them. So that way, if you got the division winner, maybe this should add about 2 points
okay.
to your total.
I like that stipulation. We can add that, and now that it's on wax, there's no denying it. So that's good. That's good. That means I'm just going to have to smoke you and pick them, so I don't have to worry about you getting bonuses.
Last year was a...
But that'll wrap it up for this episode. We are done. We have our predictions. We've broken down the AFC North, and hopefully we've provided you with a few nuggets that you can go and carry on with in your fantasy drafts. But that'll do it. Make sure you check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. Leave us some reviews on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify.
Leave some comments on Twitter.
Yeah, leave us some comments on Twitter and TikTok and YouTube. I got to do a better job of getting the podcast on YouTube, though. It's just a little longer to process to do.
I got to do a better job at interacting with my followers. Now, for many that know, my first Twitter got suspended, but I'm going to start working back on getting my followers up and my followers. I just haven't really been paying attention to it like that. But no, seriously, Twitter, TikTok. We're there.
Yep.
Actually, I'm never on TikTok. But Will is.
I'm trying to get him on TikTok, guys. I really am. Because he's got nuggets up there. He's just a busy man. He's a family man. So I mean, we're both family men, but he's really top in.
Yeah, I got no choice at this point. We're seasoned. I'm just getting started.
My wife cuts me some more slack. That's all.
Yeah.
But that'll do it for this episode. Make sure you check us out on all your favorite platforms, social media, podcasts. We're there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the follow button. Hit the plus. Whatever you got to hit to link up with the social, with the Fantasy's Finest. That'll do it for this episode. We will see you back in our new one coming soon. We got more guests coming. We got more fantasy football to talk about. Training camp is here, and it is glorious. See you next time. Peace.
Deuces.
To the Fantasy's Finest podcast. Be sure to join the community on Facebook and follow us on Twitter too @ the Fantasy's Finest. See you next episode.